Today's program is brought to you by Wisconsin Cheese. Did you know that Wisconsin wins more national and international cheese awards than any other state or country? To learn more, visit wisconsincheese.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. We're a member-supported food radio network broadcasting over 35 weekly shows live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. Join our hosts as they lead you through the world of craft brewing, behind the scenes of the restaurant industry, inside the battle over school food, and beyond. Find us at heritageradionetwork.org.
Hey, and welcome to the Food Scene on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. I'm your host, Michael Harlan Turkel. And today is a special treat for me because I have in studio a woman that I got to visit during my book, Acid Trip Travels in the World of Vinegar, in Modena, in Italy, one of two towns in the world that can actually make balsamic vinegar. And we're going to define what balsamic vinegar is and the difference between DOP, the Tradizionale, and IGP, the not Tradizionale. But first, we're going to start with Mari Angela, born in Modena, Italy, under the sign of vinegar. What is the sign of vinegar? Was it zodiac? Was it the stars?
It's blood running through to the people born in Modena. And you know that when we are born in Modena, when a baby girl is born in Modena, they start a series for the production of traditional balsamic vinegar. And the series, the batteria, as we call it, of bearers, is given as a dowry when the girls get married.
Yeah, so it's matriarchal. It is women only. Is it mothers making it for their daughters?
No, it's not only women, but the tradition was for the women to have a dowry from the original family.
Yeah. So. You know, first of all, balsamic vinegar is the most ubiquitous, most well-known vinegar around the world, and we'll get to why we think that is, but it wasn't up until about the 1970s. This was something that was familiar, made for the family within the family. When did that change and why?
The traditional one started its run towards the market at the beginning of the 80s, when a group of families joined together and they made the first consortium to obtain the recognition for the product, the low recognition for the product. Thus, in 1983, the traditional balsamic vinegar was given his first low of production.
I can't believe that 1983 is kind of the first presence of that, though, because it does feel so ingrained in not just, you know, Italian culture, but in American cuisine, in cuisines around the world.
The traditional is perhaps the most ancient product of Modena, because it's really deep-rooted in the culture of the city. But it has always been, as you were saying before, something related to families. So handed on from, passed on from generation to the other. But the traditional one was something really belonging to the family matter.
Yeah, and we're going to taste a 25-year-old extra vecchio in a little bit. But I want to kind of talk about time, because it takes a while to make balsamic vinegar. And it is an extraneous vinegar out of any other that I experience around the world, because it is grape must, or the juice boiled down to a certain percentage and then fermented through this series of wooden barrels. And it's wild to be in Modena, in the land of slow food and fast cars, and see something so authentic still be authentic.
Yeah, curious peculiarity about our vinegar is that it comes from cooked grape juice. So it's a vinegar which is born completely sweet. When you come in the autumn, as you have done, and you take part of the harvest and then of the pressing and then of the cooking of the must, you really smell this sweet perfume in our courtyard. And it's unbelievable that this sweet liquid will turn into something which is sweet, sour, in perfect balance. And it's a very long process, because the minimum aging is 12 years old. And then you have the so-called extra vecchio, so the extra age, which is a minimum of 25 years of aging through this series of decreasing volume barrels made of different kinds of wood that give nuances and flavor to the product.
So do you laugh at winemakers? You're like, oh, you're going to have a product next year. I have to wait 12 years to make a product. Because you are also kind of one of few. I mean, you're actually the only one that I met that grows their own grapes.
Yeah, we have a vineyard. We have 8.5 hectares of vineyard in the hills around the Vignola where I live. And we cultivate all the grapes we use to make our product. And the family production is based all on cooked grape must. You know, the when we decided the name for the acetaia, which is the house of the grandfather, so La Cada al Non, because it was this tradition of cultivating grape, making the must, started with my great-grandfather. So it's something which is dated back a long time ago.
Yeah, I've been lucky enough, obviously, to visit your estate, and there is so much history, not just steeped in that building and beautiful courtyard, but there are barrels, there are baterias that are owned by family members or were begun by family members of yours, and there's one in specific of your grandmother.
Yes, you're meaning Demetria. Yeah, Demetria was my grandmother. And we have a special vinegar dedicated to her, which is aged in the final barrel, the finishing barrel of the series is a juniper, wild juniper barrels. So the product is very raisinous in your mouth, long, it stays in your nose, and it gives you this long and lasting flavor, which is amazing.
You know, I wish people could have seen you close your eyes and kind of recount that, because I mean, no, I truly mean this. It's so excellent to see you recall the memory of not only something like a vinegar, but I see you kind of recalling your grandmother in that.
Sure.
And there's so much character and personality in every bottle of balsamic that you make that's what makes it familiar to me. That's what makes it, as you know, more a part of the family than this IGP. And we'll talk about what IGP is in a second, but DOP, Tradizionale, how do you know you're getting that? What on the bottle states that it's truly balsamic vinegar of Modena?
The special shape of the bottle. The traditional balsamic vinegar of Modena is bottled in a bottle which is unique for low for all the producers. It's square-based and round as a shape. It's 100 ml. It states traditional balsamic vinegar on it. And on each bottle is sealed and numbered. And before being bottled, each batch of product is tested and approved to be called traditional balsamic vinegar. Otherwise, it can't be bottled in its special bottle. The bottle was designed, by the way, by Giugiaro, because we are a land where cars are always mixed with food and whatever.
Yeah. Well, we're going to take a quick break and come back and talk more to Mariangela about balsamic vinegar. We'll be right back. Today's program was brought to you by Wisconsin Cheese. What do you think of when you hear Wisconsin cheese? For me, I think cheese curds. Delicious, fresh and squeaky cheese curds. Or deep fried cheese curds. Cheese curds literally any way, anytime, any place. I think about Andy Hatch and Uplands Cheese, the Farmstead Cheese Company behind Pleasant Ridge Reserve. I think of delicious, stinky Limburger and its long storied history. I think of Dunbarton Blue, made by master cheesemaker Chris Raleigh. I think of Ross Grand Cru Sirchois, which was named 2016's World Championship Cheese, and Sartori's Black Pepper Bellavitano, the 2017 U.S. Championship Cheese. Wisconsin produces the world's best cheese, with lush grasslands and a glacial water supply that produce the very best milk. Fourth-generation cheesemakers combine old-world tradition with new ideas and the highest standards to make innovative cheeses that win more awards than any other state or country.
Welcome back to the Food Scene on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. I'm your host, Michael Harlan-Turkel, here today with Mariangela Montanari of La Calda Non, an amazing balsamic, or acetaia, is that how you say
acetaia.
It? Acetaia. Acetaia in Modena, in Italy. Now, again, I've had the privilege of being able to stop by there and taste vinegar straight out of the barrel in your presence. And I wanted to find the difference between DOP Tradizionale, the real, and I'm not air quoting, but the real, real vinegar versus what we see on supermarket shelves here today.
The aceto balsamico di Modena, so the balsamic vinegar of Modena, is an IGP, so a geographical indication. It is a wine vinegar composed of wine vinegar to give the sour part, added with cooked must or concentrated must, and possibly a maximum of 2% of caramel to stabilize the color. It's a product which is born in Modena, again, and it is produced in very high quantity. It's a completely different product, meaning that the traditional balsamic vinegar you really use as a finishing, as a perfume, it is sort of jewel in that sense, produced in a very, very, very limited quantity. Last year we had among Modena and Reggio Emilia production of 10,000 liters, so basically nothing. And it's very special for the culture of the city.
Yeah, I mean, it is a billion-dollar industry, balsamic, and 0.00001% is this DOP, and as you just stated, it is a jewel, and it is something to have and to cherish. And I always thought it was a little joke or a little bit bullshit that, you know, you put a little balsamic on top of Parmesan. That's the only way you eat it. Like, well, no, you should be able to cook with it. But this is a product that has aged a minimum of 12 years. So it is perfect as it is. So why ruin it? Why apply heat? Why do anything to kind of alter what you've done for so long, nurturing it to that point? And Parmesan is from there as well. And I think the Modenese way is about cultivating all the culture there too, pairing things together.
Yeah, one of the best way to use the product is straight on the spoon, meaning that you use it as an aperitif to open your mouth before eating, or as digestive. And the striking thing about traditional balsamic vinegar is that you use it in drops. So it's a product that lasts for many time, and you can really use some drops to change the perfume of your dishes, to make of a very, very normal dish something really special. I don't know if... do you remember when you came, we made an onion omelette, which is which is, wow, the most easy thing in the world. And some drops of vinegar, some drops of 12 years old, just changed the world of what you were eating, in fact.
It really does. It makes, not ordinary, but it makes simple things extraordinary. And we might as well have an aperitif while we have it in front of us. I mean, let's have a spoonful. Is there a specific way that I should be pouring and enjoying this, or will I just get it once I have it?
Mm-hmm. You put it on your spoon, and then you just put it in the tip of your tongue and let it flow all to your tongue so that you get the sweetness and then little by little the acidity. And the striking thing about the extra age is that it has a very, very complete and complex body in your mouth, and it is perfectly round in its flavor. So you feel the sweetness, you feel the acidity, and they are all together. And they are really, really long lasting in your mouth.
All of that is true. It's like that Heinz commercial, though, you know, slowly, like the ketchup coming out of the bottle. You have to wait for it. But I mean, you don't have to wait that long for something that's made 12 plus years. And yes, we did talk about traditional pairings, you know, Parmesan. But you are also one of the most inventive cooks I've ever seen. And whether it's your traveling or your husband's traveling, I think you're influenced by the world as a whole and not just limited to what balsamic means to Modena. So what else have you cooked with balsamic, and what goes well with that flavor?
Let's start with the easy thing. So about Parmigiano, we have already spoken. About the onion omelette, we spoke already. You can pair it in a very simple way. It's quite traditional, in fact, with a very, very simple and flavors Parmigiano risotto, or you can make some raw vegetables with traditional balsamic vinegar, red radicchio with traditional balsamic vinegar. And then we come to something which is not so traditional, so fish, octopus salad, cooked with a traditional balsamic vinegar, king prawns. If you have a very, very big king prawns, you can just grill it and then you serve it with some salt, drizzle it with traditional vinegar and pair it with a salad with orange and fennel, and it's fantastic.
Can I have a double dose? Can I have another sip of this extra veggie?
Yes, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's transportive.
Yeah, it's give addiction, yes, I know.
Yeah, absolutely. But I went to a restaurant in Italy, and it did. It said not just aperitif. At the end of the meal for dessert, there were three things, and I think it was a cookie, a gelato, and the third thing was a spoonful of vinegar, because it is something that helps with digestion.
Yes,
yeah,
for sure. For sure, for sure. It really cleans your mouth and leave you a very long and flavoring sensation.
What are you doing in the U.S.? What are you trying to do to change the concept of what balsamic means to cooks around the world?
We are, first of all, I am trying to make people understand why traditional balsamic vinegar is different. How can you use it? How can you pair it with very easy food to give a new concept of what they are, to give new preciousness to what it is. And one of the most important thing, I think, is to make people, especially here, to understand that natural products, natural flavors, are better than anything else.
Agreed. I stand by that completely. And, you know, and you do, you feel that when you have that, when you taste that, you know that it's something that's been made slowly and perfected over time. Unlike balsamic glazes that you see, you know, in other supermarkets and stores. But, you know, I kind of want to go back to the core of what balsamic is. It's this familiar thing. It's this gift. It was this dowry that was given away. So it's always thought of as this special thing, and so special that you only want to use it here and there. But it can be an everyday thing, right?
Yes. For example, in our production, we have also something easier, if you want, to use, which is a product we make. It's a family recipe, and we call it Balsamo Saba because we are using Saba, which is the basis of all this tradition in the preparation. And this product you can use every day also to make just simply your salad or to cook. And this is, in a way, easier product to make. Do you remember what is Saba?
Yeah, it's the unfermented juice.
The sweet thing.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. But it's something that goes direct to market, unlike balsamic, which again gets aged underneath your roof for that many years. So I prefer DOP. And it's not to be a balsamic snob or anything like that, but I was kind of crunching numbers about what DOP balsamic really is. And you have a 100 milliliter bottle, right? And you said even before you have a drop. And a drop costs, you know, very little relative to what you think of as other ingredients in dishes, from truffles to caviar to some of the other luxuries in life. Even simple things like good butter, a knob of good butter costs almost as much, if not more, than a drop of balsamic vinegar. And I feel like balsamic has a bigger effect. So I kind of want to break people's idea of DOP Tradizionale, you know, being an expensive bottle of vinegar.
No, it's not expensive.
When you really don't need much to...
It's not expensive because it's just a drop. It's like using a eau de parfum instead of an eau de toilette. So it's just the drops that change your dish.
And it also comes in a similar looking bottle, I guess.
Yes, obviously.
Yeah. But please, if anyone ever wants to experience traditional DOP balsamic, stop by Mariangela's place in Modena. If you can't, it's distributed here in the U.S. through gustiamo.com. That's GUSTIMO.com. And you know, share it amongst your friends. This isn't something that you keep in your pantry for 5-10 years and just wait for special occasions. It makes every ordinary occasion special. So thank you, Mariangela, for being here.
Thank you, Michael.
You've been listening to The Food Scene on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. I'm your host, Michael Harlan Turkel. Hoping to have you back here next Tuesday at 3. Music by Cookies and David Tadashore Engineering.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network. Food Radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.